Madison Square Garden, New York, November 1958. The horse vans parked along 7th Avenue came loaded up with dreams. As each ramp banged to the ground, a groom held tight to a high-strung horse whose nostrils flared at the unexpected scents of Midtown Manhattan. Hooves clattered down onto hard asphalt. Steam rose from beneath thick woolen blankets. Photographers' cameras flashed. Anxious, tweed-clad owners called instructions from a distance while grooms murmured into their four-legged charges' ears. Police in brass-buttoned coats lined up abreast to hold back gawkers. Grays and chestnuts, palominos and bays, the most pampered show horses in the world, were gathered here for the premier equestrian event of the year, the National Horse Show at Madison Square Garden. A compact, sandy-haired man stood in the crowd of horse handlers holding a slack lead rope. His horse, a big gray gelding, looked like a workaday police horse or a Central Park hack. Nervous thoroughbreds and finicky hackney ponies scrambled up the walkway to the stables, spooked by the unfamiliar clatter of their footsteps on the ramp. But when the big gray's turn came, he walked up willingly, ears forward, perfectly calm. Above the simple canvas blanket that covered his body, his head and neck glowed in the murky Manhattan light. Inside the basement stables, grooms blacked boots and rubbed French leather bridles to a shine. Horses pawed and stamped. The riders, nowhere in sight, were back at their hotels, primping for the parties and balls. Down at the end of a row, past much fancier stables, the gray's owner, Harry DeLayer, held a four-tined pitchfork. He was spreading fresh straw in the stall, settling in his one-horse stable for the night. Tacked on the stall door was a sign hand-lettered by his children. Snowman. Madison Square Garden, the largest indoor venue in the country, would fill to the rafters for eight consecutive nights. Down at ringside, swells in top hats and tails would pop champagne corks. Up in the cheap seats, near the smoke-filled ceiling, families would strain to catch glimpses of the gleaming horses and their elegant owners. In the lobby, reporters from Vogue, The New Yorker, The Herald Tribune, and The World American would mill about, flashbulbs popping as they caught sight of dignitaries in the crowd. Outside of Hollywood, it was hard to find this much glamour under one roof. Once, a ragtag band of competitors had traveled the show circuit with just one or two horses, farmers and old cowboys who cobbled together a living from prize money and odd jobs, such as leather repair or horseshoeing. But by 1958, big money had entered the arena, and those old-timers were a dying breed. Now, expensive horses and the best trainers vied for the crown jewel, the Open Jumper Championships, in arguably the most rarefied atmosphere in the country. How could Harry and his $80 former plow horse hope to compete? It was the longest of long shots, but Harry, who had fled ravaged post-war Europe with only a few simple possessions, had never been afraid to dream big dreams.